Welcome to the Ancient Past Podcast. We are your hosts, Wendy and Shani, and we are two moms a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition for a modern generation.
Hey guys, we're back today with part two of Start Small, Grow Something, Anything. And today we're going to talk about your growing zone and what varieties to plant. We're going to probably more specifically talk about our area.
Right.
But we can give you some ideas and point you to some resources.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay,
how do you want to start today, Wendy?
Should we update? Yeah, since we're doing two podcasts, so we'll just kind of tell you what we were planning for the next week. So, I will have already gone to the Alabama Fruit and Vegetable Growers
Conference.
I'm so excited to go and to network and to get some ideas. I'm going to a cut flower workshop. I'm so excited. I love being in an area. We have two really good flower farmers that I know of. Kathy, it was Zitnik, I thought, it's different now. Begins with a G. She's over at PK Flowers in Fairhope. And then I have Jonalyn, who is a baker, who is at Blossom Lane Farm in Baker. Jonalyn in Baker, who's at Blossom Lane Farm. And so I'm kind of in the middle of both of them. Excuse me. At the beginning of this, I talked to Jonalyn. She helped me a lot. I am so inspired by their Instagram post, and neither one of them have a scarcity mindset that, you know, oh my goodness, they're competition.
Right.
Whenever I've reached out, they've been so, you know, oh, thank you for the encouragement, or, you know, just supportive. They like my page. They like what I'm doing. So I am encouraged to do it. I really do want to get bigger in that area and not just for the boxes. I'd like to get to where we have a CSA bouquet subscription, and that I can just branch out in the area and learn more. So I'm excited about that. And then there's some hydroponic workshops.
Okay.
Different other things, you know, just basic farm stuff like small business management and how to do your books, stuff like that.
Right.
Which is kind of boring, but it's necessary.
Totally boring.
Right. So I'm totally going to be excited about going and doing that. So that's what I'm going to be doing this week. What are you going to be doing this week that we'll talk about when we come back?
Oh, I know what I have coming up this week. So this Sunday, I am teaching a sourdough class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very first time teaching to grown-ups. I have taught a sourdough class to a group of homeschool kids before, but this one is going to be different. This is very hands-on. There's going to be 40 students.
How
41
exciting.
Students. It's a little bit intimidating, and I'm starting to struggle with, like, the imposter syndrome and trying to not get in my own head.
You got this.
But,
God
I started,
moved you here for
I
a
know,
reason. I'm going
I
to
know.
Talk over you now.
I started working on a PowerPoint. I asked Kyle if I should do a PowerPoint. And he said, yeah, that's probably a good idea, just so that I keep myself on track.
Yeah.
And I have my topics and my highlight points. And then we're going to start the class by scoring a loaf of bread and putting it in the oven. And then we're going to go back to the beginning and start from the beginning. And
that's a great idea, because the whole place will be smelling
it'll smell
amazing.
So good. Yeah. And I'm hoping, I pulled out a couple recipes for some cookies that you use sourdough starter in, which I kind of have mixed feelings about. I think, like, it still has all the other cookie ingredients in it. It's not like you're replacing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's more getting the fermentation benefits.
Right.
But it's only the fermented starter.
Like
so
a discard.
It's a discard recipe. So you're not really fermenting the other things that are going into it.
I see
it.
What you're saying.
So I don't know. I don't sourdough everything, you know?
Yeah.
But we're going to try some of those. And if they turn out, then I'll take some to the class. But yeah, then we'll walk through how to make a loaf, a very basic loaf. And then
that'll be fun.
Everyone goes home with a started loaf that they finish and bake. And then a dehydrated sourdough starter.
Yeah. So, that sounds like fun.
I'm excited about it. And
I love teaching.
It's a good way to meet people. And then I get to go to a fermentation class hosted by the same group next month. So
that's
I'm excited
awesome.
About that.
I think I'll go with you to that one.
Yeah.
I'll be free.
We get
that
to
day.
Come home with a SCOBY and water kefir and a jar of sauerkraut to How ferment. Fun. I'm so excited.
If you're in our local area, we will put the link below to this group.
Oh, yes.
So if you want to join.
It's going
to
be good.
Okay, so I am still drinking the mint medley because we're doing
two
podcasts.
Me too. I'm almost out of mine.
I am almost out of mine too, but it's really good. And I am getting some liquid in there, some water to meet my ounces for the day.
Listen, when I went to the naturopath, she said drinking herbal tea counts as drinking water.
It certainly does.
So if that's how you have to get your water in, don't make yourself feel bad about it.
Yeah, we love Hannah.
I did this this ridiculous, it was helpful, kind of, but I did this ridiculous workout program with my sister and brother-in-law and a friend once where you had to drink a gallon of water a day, among other things. And it was like, you can't add anything to your water or it doesn't count. It's like, okay.
Cucumbers.
But it's the same.
Basil.
Yeah.
Mint.
It was like it was just to check the box. And I get for the program what the purpose of it was. It's more of like a mental thing than anything.
Sure.
But it just makes me laugh now because I'm like, I get water. I mean, my favorite kind of water is run through ground up coffee beans. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm getting lots of water.
Favorite kind of water.
You know, you get water lots of ways.
Ground up coffee beans. That's hilarious. Okay. So we're probably not reading anything again.
No.
Not reading anything. We just don't. It's too pretty outside. We're just not reading.
I do have a book recommendation, though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm part of a book club, and I've already read. I actually read this book like a year ago, and they are just happened to pick it for this month.
Right.
And I love it. And it's called Giver of Stars or The Giver of Stars. I think it's just Giver of Stars by JoJo Moyes. And it's really good. It's about the Kentucky horseback librarians during the Great Depression.
Really?
And these really were a real group of women. Now, the story is fictional, mm-hmm. but it's based off of this group of women who were paid almost like, you know, the CCC, like during the Depression.
The CCC Boys, right?
Yeah. So it was one of those type of programs that...
to get women working or
yeah.
get people working.
Yeah. And so they would ride through the hills of Kentucky where people really didn't have access to the library in town.
That's fabulous.
And spread literacy. And so it's you know, got the romance in it mm-hmm. and it's got the conflict and the conflict resolution. And there's another book that is about the same group of people, but then it's about one of the Kentucky Blue people.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of the librarians. And so both of those are really good. That one is called
The
Bookwomen of Troublesome Creek. But those are both really good books. They're wholesome. And there's some like social conflict and some big concepts mm-hmm. in it. But they both were just good stories. So if you're looking for a good story to read right now,
I
recommend those.
There you go. That's our book club.
Yeah.
Book club recommendation of the week. So we're going to move right on into edibles because that's what we're moving into in our area. We are in zone 9A,
8B.
But really in 8B because they changed the climate map for those.
Global warming and all.
Global warming or whatever. I'm not really sure why. I don't think anybody knows why. I've listened to so many YouTubes and so many podcasts and nobody really has nailed that down for me why.
I wonder if it has really helped other areas that they changed, but like here it just kind of seems silly.
But if you really want to go, you can go to the Farmer's Almanac online.
Yeah.
And they will tell you in your zone or your zip code what your average frost date is.
Yeah.
And when, you know, when was the last time it froze? And I think ours was March something last year.
Yep.
So don't try to be planting February 15th if
nope.
you can't. And also take into consideration, everyone has microclimates. I live on a very high. I say hill, but I live in Florida, but it's pretty high. I mean, it's pretty high where we live. So we have a microclimate. I can grow some things that other people that are where Shani is, which is just right down the road, literally, that she probably is not going to be able to grow.
Yeah.
Only because it's a different microclimate, or I'll have to start it earlier or she'll have to start it later.
Right.
Just because of our elevation, because of our trees around us, things like that.
Yeah.
And you live close to the river.
Yes.
You're actually much closer to the river than I am.
We are.
And that does make a difference too, believe it or not.
And we are...
you have more pollinators because you have the
bees
from the poplars.
Yeah. we are a little bit lower. Like you have that elevation. Mm-hmm. We're a little lower, and I guess ground wise, because we are so close to the river, we have more water.
Yeah.
Like surface water, if that makes sense.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Probably a different constitution of soil as well.
Yeah. We have.
You have a lot of clay. I'm looking at
we
it.
Do have a lot of clay, but you know, this whole property used to be horse pasture about 25 yeah, years ago.
That's beautiful right there. That
and earth. We live on the beginning of the downside of a hill, and the top of the hill is a so horse pasture washed. Currently. So we get lots of great soil amendments yes, just naturally we, yes, into our garden.
Do. Yes, you do.
And it's, I mean, it is still, there is a fair amount of clay under my garden, but I added compost when we put it in.
Mm-hmm.
So the top 6 to 12 inches is good loose soil.
Right.
But then it retains the water a little yeah. bit deeper down. So I'm not too mad about the clay.
No, I don't blame you. And it holds it. It holds yeah. the water. You don't have to water as much. We talked about that in the yep. last episode. So we're going to talk about the things you can plant in February. Shani has printed out our IFAS. So IFAS is our University of Florida, our extension service
yeah.
here in Florida. And we are at the very tip top of Florida. We could actually throw a rock and hit Alabama. Each way, actually, we could go west yeah. and hit Alabama and north and hit Alabama. Yep. We're right there in that little point there. So we follow this, but there's also ACES, which is the Alabama Extension Service. Mm-hmm. I think they call theirs co-ops
okay.
In Alabama.
I should have printed that out, too.
I don't know what Georgia is, but I do know that, you know, everybody has an extension office.
Yes.
And they really will bend over backwards to help you. If you find that your local office isn't helping you, go to the next county over. Or if you're like us, we can use Alabama and Florida because we're so close, and they will help each other.
The swallowtails are back.
I was about to say, I hear birds here.
I just saw one.
We're going to have a little intermission.
We're still recording outside, guys, and I get so distracted by birds.
Because a little while ago, we had a crow.
Oh, yes.
That was irritating a hawk, and then two vultures came.
Yeah.
And eventually, the hawk went away, and the crow disappeared. But yeah. And they're gone. We don't know where they are, but that was yeah. so pretty.
It was cool to watch because the... I heard the crow, and I had just said, oh, great, we're going to hear this crow. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden I hear this. I can't even make the sound. But if you know what a hawk sounds like,
yeah.
it's the coolest sound. And I was like, oh, I know what that is. And mm-hmm. that's not good because my chickens
we
are out.
We just left the chicken yard, right? And they were out. And
should we talk about my rooster problem?
Yeah, sure. I think we should talk about
you
the
think
rooster
it's
problem.
Too offensive?
Everybody needs to know. I don't think so. They can fast forward through it. So
yeah.
A hawk will eat chickens, people.
Yeah.
And roosters will fight each other,
yeah.
people. And so, I mean, it's not all pretty and looking good like it yeah. does in the Country Home magazine or
yes.
whatever.
Or on Instagram.
Ugh. Things yeah. happen. And so Shani's had a stressful week. Go ahead and tell them about it.
Yeah. We have too many roosters for the amount of hens that we have because we bought ours at Tractor Supply and they were not all pullets. So they were not all hens.
And now they're all teenagers.
And they're all almost a year old at this point.
Mm-hmm. They're teenager roosters.
Right. And we have three roosters and they have been fighting and two of them teamed up on one over the last couple of days and got him pretty good on his comb. He's got a lot of like dried blood on his feathers and on his comb. And they had him yesterday pinned in one of the nesting boxes, and there's blood everywhere inside the coop. And so we were trying to get that one away from the rest of the flock so that we could check on him, make sure he was okay, and keep him safe. And we're going to have to off the other two.
Yeah.
So after we're done recording, I have a friend coming over who's going to help me because I can't catch them on my own. And I'm too nervous to try to do that with the kids. I don't want them in there.
Right.
And they know what we're going to have to do. And this is the first time that we will have to handle that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sad about the roosters not being here, but it's just... There's still, even as a homesteader and someone who fully intends on raising and processing her own meat, there's still this respect for this life that God created that I'm kind of struggling with, like just walking out there and getting rid of it. And
but you will have chicken and dumplings this weekend.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Chicken nuggets. I'm not really sure. They're a year old, so they may be a little tough. If we don't feel like we can eat them, we'll feed them to the dog.
To the dog, right. Yeah.
And she'll love it. Yeah. But
you can cook them first and cook them first and see.
Yeah.
They might be too tough. You might have to stew.
Yeah. I think I have a recipe for, like a stewed chicken soup in my, Outlander cookbook.
Yeah. I would totally cook them and make broth out of them and then give the rest to the dogs.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Be careful because I've always, and I don't know if you guys know if this is any truth to it, but I've always heard that no chicken bones for dogs.
I've heard that too.
Because they're soft and maybe they'll splinter.
They do splinter.
If I were to do that, I would just
weed them through.
And just give them the meat.
But if I boil the meat, then I can pull the meat off the bones.
Yeah.
And then I can use the bones to make broth.
Yeah. Yeah, and use the boiled water.
Boiled water.
Yeah, make something out of it. Don't waste it.
Well, and that's my thing. I don't want to just waste it because we have been feeding them for a year. So.
Right. No, I don't blame you. I don't.
But chick days are coming, and I am so excited.
It's so fun. Yeah, we had a similar thing. Kind of. We've lost a lot of hens this week. We had a hawk in the house. Thank goodness Adam was home. Got two of them, I think.
In the chicken house, not in
my actual house. However, I have had goats in there and baby chicks in there. It's been kind of stressful like that. I'm real thankful that he was there to be able to handle that. These chickens, once you feed them, they're really costly. They've cost a lot of money as babies, and once you feed them and the profit that they give you from the eggs. So is that was a little stressful. And then we had a couple of roosters that are just really aggressive. We had too many roosters and we had to cull them.
Yeah.
I say we. I didn't have to do anything. I am so thankful that I have grown children who are and I am the age
I texted
that I
Wendy
am.
And said, hey, can Adam come over? And he was busy. So we're going to have somebody else come over.
Yeah.
And help take care of the situation. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is.
The injured rooster has been secured and he is safe.
And he is probably the least aggressive. So she's going to keep him alive.
We're going to.
He will be the flock.
I think he'll be fine once he's the only rooster.
Yeah.
And I think part of why I feel so bad is because I knew that this was going to be a problem and I just kept putting it off.
Right.
And part of it was because we're busy. Part of it was because I was like, oh, maybe they'll be fine.
We probably should have harvested them a few months.
We probably should have. And it's okay.
I mean, this is the lessons that we have to learn. That is our lesson for today on episode number 14.
What is the ratio you told me for roosters to hens?
I've always heard 18 to 1. But,
okay.
You know, it could be, you know, 20 or 16 or whatever. Right. But I've always heard 18 to 1 is a pretty good ratio. So they don't.
It's good to know.
Yeah, and I, that may be wrong, but I'm throwing it out there as what we've always heard.
Well, I mean,
old-timers.
I got three in there for 11 hens, and that's too many. Yeah. So
we've heard, you know, the old timers are just, you know, reading different things that I've read.
We should listen to the old timers.
That is, yes, we should. Yes, we should. Okay, so we're going to move on to now. We're going to talk about what exactly you need to grow. So I'll kind of read over this list, and then we'll post it for you. The link for it. We are in North Florida, so consider that we've already told you the zone area, and North it does go down to 9B. So you do have to look and see where you are, if you're a coastal or if you're a A or B or, and then there's a coastal and then there's a different other kind of region. I don't remember what it is because we are actually the same zone as Skagit Valley in Washington, something like that. So you got to take that with a grain of salt.
That really throws me for a loop when places that far north can be the same growing zone as
England.
Us. Yes, where Charles Downing is the same growing zone as us, but he gets snow and we don't.
Right.
So the timing has to be a little bit different.
It does have to be different. You have to, and this is something that it is one of those things that if you put the effort in at the beginning and kind of get your timing and you get your varieties, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You just need to get it. When you hone in on what grows when for you, you'll be fine.
And I would suggest find somebody like Wendy or somebody with the extension office in your area that has experience with growing certain varieties of plants, especially right. if you're wanting to grow to feed your family, mm-hmm. you're going to save yourself a lot of anxiety and stress by going and getting the list of the ones that actually grow in your area instead right. of, as much as we love the resources on YouTube, instead of listening to someone who lives in a completely different zone as you, like for us, for tomatoes is what I'm mm-hmm. thinking of. You know, I would love to be able to grow a beautiful Brandywine tomato, but mm-hmm. it's not really going to happen here because it gets too humid and too mm-hmm. hot. And Brandywines need a long time to grow because they're right. a big slicer.
You got to baby those things. But it sounds good.
It does. And all the things. Right. But there are some big slicers that you can grow mm-hmm. here.
Absolutely.
I have fallen in love with yellow tomatoes.
I ordered you some
yellow slicers
from Johnny's the other day.
I'm so excited. They're so good. If you guys have not tried them, go to a farmer's market or a local produce stand where you can get some. They are less acidic than a red mm-hmm. tomato, and they're sweet. It's almost like eating tomato candy. They're so good.
Yeah.
I love them on a bacon and cheddar cheese sandwich.
And they're pretty, pretty.
They are pretty.
Yeah. I knew you would love that.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited about that. I ordered you this one.
Ooh, let's see.
Lemon Boy Plus. You see the circle? Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be pretty, I think. And the Johnny's guy said that that's going to work. Adam found it for you.
Oh, well, thank you, Adam.
So
okay, we know he doesn't listen because he told us he doesn't listen.
He told
us
he does not listen, and he says we should not listen or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and we don't really have time to listen, but sometimes we listen
yes.
just to make sure because we don't want to say and all the things.
Yes. Honestly, that's why the podcast didn't get posted a couple weeks ago because I ran out of time
to edit.
And I didn't want to just post it.
So this is what it's saying in the north.
Yes.
Arugula, beets. It says easy to transplant.
Yeah.
So arugula, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, Chinese cabbage, collards, eggplant, endive, kale, kohlrabi, lettuce, peppers, Swiss chard, tomatilla, and tomatoes.
I would just direct sow arugula.
Yeah. So I would direct
and
sow
beets.
Arugula,
beets. Why would you
beets,
transplant beets?
Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, Chinese cabbage, collards, eggplant, no way. Don't do that right now because for our area, it's got a fruit on it. So, and it
remember,
will freeze.
Remember, we said last time, fruit will freeze.
It will freeze.
If now, it has a
it
leaf,
won't get big enough maybe
bee.
Yet. If you, I would not direct seed it. I would plant it, but I would plant it in a covered, someplace that's protected. Endive,
the birds.
A direct seed, kale, direct seed, kohlrabi, direct seed, lettuce, direct seed, peppers, absolutely not. Definitely covered and protected, and they also need a warm soil, so a heat germination mat or refrigerator, the top refrigerator, just to get going.
Yeah.
Peppers do Swiss chard directly in the ground, tomatillo and tomatoes, they need a warm soil to germinate. So those will work and they'll be okay, but each one has its own germination preferences.
Yeah.
Celery, mustards, spinach, and potatoes can go out in February to be on the safe side.
Well, that's good. I put mine out the other day.
Yeah. So the thing with potatoes is they're going to be okay in the ground, but their greens will freeze. If we have a hard
yes.
freeze, they're going to freeze. But the roots are fine.
We had that happen last year when we had that late freeze.
Yeah. You don't want them to all freeze because they do need photosynthesis.
Yeah.
But one part of the tomato may come back and start growing
they
again.
They all came back last year. We just, in some of them, you could see the black ring from where they froze
right.
when we cut into the tomato or potato, I mean.
So this is a little weird because it looks like this goes down all the way to Lake City, which is a totally different zone from us.
I'm wondering if we should not, for where we live, follow the Alabama one.
I think we should follow
instead
the ACEs.
Of the Florida
mm-hmm.
one.
I think so as well.
Maybe I can look that one up really quick while
yeah.
Yeah,
so it says cantaloupe. Well, obviously cantaloupe is going to be inside. Carrots, definitely outside. You still have time for carrots, I think. It's 100 days. It's still cool. The white fly, we do have a white fly issue, but I think you
I
can go
like
ahead and
I
do carrots.
I can't get my carrots big enough.
So here,
the I want to try
have
carrots
been
in a grow bag. That's
carrots should have been
ones.
Planted in September.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can still, you do have time now. But
yeah.
carrots take sometimes 21 days to germinate.
Yeah.
A lot of times I've heard people say that they would put a board, they will plant the carrots and put a board over them and check them every day. And when they germinate,
yeah.
then they'll pull it off. So bird what won't eat them or whatever.
Oh, that makes sense. You can
see them. Yeah.
And what did you say the Alabama Extension
Office? ACES. A-C-E-S. And we have a mobile extension. You may be able to pull theirs up. Corn, you can plant that protected. Cucumbers, protected. Onions can go straight in the ground. English peas, I would soak them first and then put them in the ground. But if you get a hard freeze, they will freeze. Radishes, straight in the ground. Squashes, protected. Turnips, straight in the ground. And watermelons, protected. So, I mean, it does depend on where you are. So, you do have to be real careful and call your local county extension service. So let's look. I'm going to look at a few of these that I really like. I like arugula. I like astro for our area. It's really good. Beets. I like golden. I like Detroit. I like Chioggia. I don't know if it's Chioggia or Chioga.
Are any of those red?
Detroit is. Okay. Detroit is a red beet. Then there's the golden.
I really want to grow some beets and make pickled beets this year.
I love beets anyway.
My mom really likes pickled beets. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, which I don't have a freeze dryer, so I can't do this yet. But if anybody would like to offer me some time with your freeze dryer, I would love to make some beetroot powder because oh, cool. I want to make some naturally colored sprinkles.
Oh, color. You know, you can make lip gloss.
Really? With beetroot powder?
Beetroot powder and coconut oil. Mix those.
That would be great
together.
For Hattie. Hattie has been all about wearing some lipstick lately. Mm-hmm. And she got some.
You can use it as water rouge. Based. Do they still call it rouge? Blush.
Blush,
yeah. Yeah. And then they're for lipstick. It stains your lips.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, I know I can buy it, but it would be fun just to be able to grow it and do it myself.
That's kind of
so,
cool.
Hey, Mom, buy that freeze dryer so we can make us some beetroot powder.
I thought you said your mom and dad were thinking about
that. She's thinking about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Mom. We want some to freeze dry some things.
I will make you pickled beets if you let me freeze dry some beets.
So, I like, I think I just, a boro is a good beet. The Chioggia Red Ace is a good one. Touchstone Gold is a good gold one. I love beets because about this time of the year, I like to pull out the juicer.
Uh-huh.
Have a Breville, and I really like juice. I like cucumber, which I usually have to buy, but I can do this all during the summer. A beet, which store real well in sand. You can keep the beets all summer. The tops will die, of course. A cucumber, a celery, some spinach, and an apple, and a whole beet. That's my favorite combination of a juice ever. It's delicious. And you throw some carrots in there if they're ready.
Parsley. Have never juiced.
Love it.
Well, I take that back. I did get one a long time ago, like one on Facebook Marketplace, but I never got into it because I was like, this is too expensive. But if I could grow it, then it would make it worth it.
Yeah.
So when you juice, do you still get the fiber or?
No, the fiber goes to the side.
Right.
And I use it in a stir fry or something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah.
But absolutely. It makes me feel real. It goes to your bloodstream really quickly.
Yeah.
There's a whole different, actually, I think they do have juicers that do keep the pulp in it.
There are different kinds of juicers, and I know I'm going to mess up what they're called, so I'm not going to say what they are, but maybe we can look that up and talk about it another time.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, because that would be a cool way of using some of the things that you can grow.
Right.
And maybe give you a wider list of what to grow, because, like, you can only really eat that many, you know, so many beets.
Right. And so the way
and
I
so
would
much
store
kale
them is I would put them in a Rubbermaid.
Yeah.
And I would put a layer of builder sand and then the beets and then another layer of builder. Same with carrots.
Yep.
You know, layer, and put them in your house somewhere. And they will store for a really long time.
Yeah.
Just put them in sand.
That's how you do a, what is it called?
Root cellar?
A root cellar. Can't think of the word. Yeah. Look at that chicken. That's the one. One of the ones that keeps getting out.
Where do you see?
Over by the garden.
The leghorn?
No, so that is one of the ones that I
that's
lucked
expensive
out.
Light
that's
one
of the expensive ones. I lucked out at Tractor Supply last year when we lost a chick because it got stuck. It was like a 3-day old. You know, it got stuck in part of the little thing I had them in.
Right.
So we had to toss that one into the woods. Well, of course I replaced one chick with six more because why wouldn't you do
why
that?
Why wouldn't you? If you're going to go for one, you might as well get six.
So I ended up getting these ones and they ended up being, we were getting blue eggs. And I was like, I don't have a variety that lays
not
blue
like
eggs.
Eric Connors.
Right. So I finally figured out it's a white variety of a cream leg bar. And those chicks sell for $45 a piece. From a hatchery, and we got them for like the $6
price point.
Right,
that's fabulous.
So I really want to get some green.
Do you
layers.
Trim their wings?
No. Remember we talked about.
Oh, that's
this.
Right. We do need to do. I knew there was something I was supposed to do last week.
I need
week,
Adam to come over here and do a lot of things, but you just keep him busy over there, running the farm and everything.
I know, right? And the landscaping's getting ready to bust out.
I don't know why he can't take time to help me.
One of our listeners, Lisa, she has a big job for him. She's selling one of her houses, so he's got to go over there and do that tomorrow. Yeah. So, I mean, the landscaping is just getting ready to start. And we sat down and figured out, okay, let's make this just, you know, a rhythm. We know I'm going to do this. You know, you're going to do this. We got this going on so he can still do his business. Okay. So we're moving on to broccoli.
Yeah.
I have grown before Green Magic. I kind of love Green Magic and I like the sprouting broccoli robs. I do like the robs. They don't get the heads on them.
Uh-huh.
But they are still broccoli. You can eat the leaves on the broccoli robs. I think they're called early sprouting or mini broccolis.
Yeah.
Any of those are
I've
really
heard,
good.
Like, spring broccoli rob, mm-hmm. I think is how I've seen them.
Yeah, those are really good too. I don't grow a lot of Brussels sprouts because we are farming for profit and it just doesn't pull a lot of cash flow.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what Brussels sprout would do here, but I don't think there's a whole bunch of varieties that are different. All the cabbages, I would suggest any kind of Chinese cabbage. They are just so strong. They grow very well here. Any of the Asian type Chinese is like the Joy Choi. We've had great success with the Joy Choi. And I've had great success with the one that looks like a brain.
Cauliflower?
No, it's a cabbage. It looks like a brain. Let me look. Hold on. I've got my Johnny's out, y'all. Savoy cabbage.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
They're really kind of crinkly.
Yeah.
We've had real good success with those. And I've got a few of those planted right now. We'll see how these go. But the Napa cabbage grows really well here.
Yeah.
It goes straight up and it's really good. Cauliflower, that's kind of iffy. It really needs to be started already.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful what variety you get because you have to make sure that you have to actually take the leaves and cover the cauliflower so they'll blanch and stay white.
Oh.
To me, I don't really care.
Interesting.
If it turns yellow or whatever. They have cheddar cheese kind, which is orange, and they have purple, and then they have the pointy Romanesco.
I've seen the purple ones before. Yeah.
It's like a light green. But the white ones, you have to cover those up.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort.
So speaking of effort, I have two puny little Brussels sprout plants out there that have only ever gotten about this tall. And there's a little baby Brussels on one of them. I had six plants and the chickens ate them.
Of course.
And some of them froze. Mm-hmm. I think next year, well, like this time, you know, in the fall next year, that's going to be one of the things I really commit to babying in the garden. I really want to grow some Brussels sprouts for myself.
Yeah, well, they're delicious.
We love Brussels sprouts. I only have one kid that won't eat them because he's picky about everything. But the other ones love them.
Yeah,
and
I love them too.
Yeah. I really want those to grow.
I should probably then just grow me some for me then. That kind of stresses me out because I think, oh, I'm going to use this area for me. And then I think, oh, I could use this for everybody else. And, you know,
could you grow enough to put in the boxes?
We could. It would take a lot of room.
Yeah.
I would think one stalk per person. And since they take so long to grow, when you have 50 boxes, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And one stalk takes up 2 to 3 feet.
So how many, like one stalk, is that like one meal's worth, you think, for a whole
family?
Probably,
yeah. You could probably get 2 or 3 pints out of them if they all grow well. You know, like those little square green pints?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Brussels sprouts.
I do too. They're really good.
I like them raw too. I think it would be nice Yeah, to eat them. I mean, it's just a tiny cabbage, mm-hmm. basically. But
yeah, it's like a cabbage married to broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Had a baby.
They definitely have more of a broccoli than a cabbage taste. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a deeper taste to it than mm-hmm. a cabbage.
And you could take a food processor and grate up the stem. I mean, uh-huh. you could use the parts.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think.
Probably feed the leftovers to the chickens,
so
to be honest.
We're going
to
handle but, your yeah. problem on carrots. So we have yeah. the little baby carrots, and then we have the bigger carrots.
Yeah.
And then the long carrots. The boleros are like the storage carrots, the Nantes kind, which is kind yes. of in the middle. That's what we should grow here in our area.
All the time?
Uh-huh. I think the Danvers are the ones that's a little bit smaller. I'm not really sure. I'm totally going off my memory here. So the long carrots are going to take a long time here to grow. We have compacted soil, actually, with all of our clay because we're in the South. Yeah. So unless you have a mix that you've made yourself, a raised bed, you probably need to grow a medium length of a carrot.
I was thinking of doing them in those grow bags.
I think you might should try
it. And do, you know, get some of the native soil and get mm-hmm. some sand and mix yeah. it all in. I just wonder if they won't dry out. Like, with carrots, you don't necessarily want to water them every day because mm-hmm. that's, you want them to grow down.
Right.
But I wonder if the grow bags would make the soil grow dry out faster.
They might.
I don't know. Maybe water it from the bottom instead of water it from the top.
Yeah.
Like bit. Have yes, like mm-hmm. have the grow bag in a tray that will water up. That would be a fun project to do with the kids. I have some like 5-gallon grow bags in the shed I could try that with.
Yeah. I think that'd be interesting.
I'm ready for them to like be able to grow something. So now if it's going to freeze again, can we go ahead and start carrots? Would we need to cover them once
no.
they've sprouted, or you think they would be okay?
I didn't at all. I think when that really, really 17 degrees came,
yeah.
we covered them. I just kind of laid the frost cloth over it
yeah.
and nothing happened.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty
so
hardy.
We could pretty much go ahead and start mm-hmm. them anytime
yeah,
now.
Yeah, go ahead and start the carrots. But remember, they're very fine.
Yeah.
So you really don't want them to be submerged under dirt.
What are your thoughts on, I've seen some hacks before of like getting some toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And making carrot tape, like the seed tape.
I think that's a great
tape.
Idea.
I think that mm-hmm. would make it less stressful for yeah, the kids.
Toilet paper or paper towels.
Yeah, because then they could get some of that like pincher mm-hmm. muscle control by mm-hmm. using tweezers to put the seeds on the toilet paper.
Idea. Yeah.
Or just there you sprinkle. Go. There's an activity for your kids.
Or just sprinkle.
Well, even my hands, I get really mm-hmm. frustrated with carrot seeds
yeah,
because they're so tiny.
I would just sprinkle them and then I would pull them. She's rogue.
She is rogue.
She's so rogue. Sorry, y'all. We're looking at the chicken again. She is like everywhere.
There, I have like 4 that get out consistently. And I'm like, you know, I give you this wonderful area to be mm-hmm. in where you're protected
grass
and you're safe.
Is greener.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm amazed
humans,
that the hawks
chickens.
Haven't got them yet.
Right. Well, they're coming.
Hey, at the end of this episode, you need to talk about the thing that you said about the hawk and the eagle.
Oh, the eagle. Okay.
We get that at the end.
Okay. So we're moving yeah. in. I know you can plant celeriac now. That's a long.
What in the world is
celeriac? It's really, really cool. It is has a big white root on it
uh-huh.
and the top looks like celery and it tastes like celery to me.
What does the root taste like?
The root tastes like it's crunchy. It's like a sweet-ish. I say sweet.
Like a turnip?
Like a potato.
What?
It's like, yeah, it's really
starchy
good.
Like that?
It's starchy like that. And they're,
so it's not
it's
the
like
same?
A yucca root. Yucca.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really good.
So how do you prepare it?
I slice it in sticks and dip hummus in it.
Oh, you eat it raw?
I eat it raw.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like it.
I think she's getting water. She's drinking water out of my
you
little
can probably,
creek.
You can probably doing. Cook it. I've never cooked it.
Interesting.
Have celery?
You've grown it successfully, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, it takes forever. It's like a parsnip. Parsnip, or they look like white carrots.
Yeah.
They take 100 days, too. But they grow well here.
Yeah.
I would say go ahead and grow those right now, too.
I think I have seeds for both of those. I might even have, how do you say it again? Celeriac?
Celeriac?
Mm-hmm.
Celeriac I think that's
seeds.
Right. I don't know. I'm an English teacher, but I don't know how to pronounce
that's okay.
everything.
As long as you say it with confidence, right?
Right, exactly. Celeriac. It's, that's what it is, or something. chicory, I would definitely plant chicory, which we also call it endive, right? So,
I saw some wild dandelion chicory the other day.
Yeah, we have a lot of dandelion here.
Y'all yeah.
Can, so right now, this is like a little advertisement for dandelion. They are growing right now everywhere. Take your flowers, take them inside, make fritters with them.
Ooh.
Dip them in, make a batter. You know, like pancake or whatever kind of batter.
Yeah.
Dip them in it and make little fritters. They're delicious.
Sounds good.
They're delicious. And you can eat the greens. Blossom. It's like a squash blossom.
Yeah, the bitters are really good. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. I really like arugula. Right now, arugula is probably the only bitter that I have in my life. But it's really good for your digestive system.
It's supposed to be, yeah.
And I am trying to find ways to incorporate it for my family. Like, mm-hmm. I can try anything a couple of times. But... I want it to be things that are going to be appealing to the kids. And they like, actually, all of my kids will eat a salad, if you can believe it. Even my 3-year-old.
Put everything in a soup. Put greens in spaghetti sauce. Make pancakes and add them to it. You know, let them dip pancakes in ranch dressing if you have to get them started. But make dandelion greens, add them to them, you know, and make savory type things. And they'll get used to that taste. They will.
Yeah. Hard when we're so conditioned to eat everything with sugar in it bitters.
We're also just conditioned to do things the way they've always been done.
Yeah.
So, like collards. Collards are a southern staple, y'all. We eat collards with cornbread all the time. We have lots of different varieties here. We can get them a dime a dozen because they grow so prolifically. Yeah. We can grow Morris heading. We can grow the Georgia collards. We can grow the cabbage type collards. We can grow the Vates type collards. They just grow everywhere. They grow all year. In the summertime, they will bolt. They have yellow flowers and they'll reseed themselves. But collards are good to grow right now. Turnips are good to grow right now, with or without roots. They actually have turnips plants that don't have the roots anymore. They hybridized them. So if you don't like the roots, like all the rest of us do, you don't have to have them.
You know what cracks me up is, so my mom is from Canada. And when in Canada, everything above the ground freezes. And,
sure. Yeah, I can imagine.
So she grew up eating the turnip root. And then when she moved down here, people were eating the turnip greens. And she's like, what are you talking about?
That's weird.
They were used to eating the root. I actually like turnips. We roast them with potatoes and carrots and parsnips. I love them.
And you can, if you're trying to watch your gluten or you're trying not to eat crackers, take a big collard leaf, kale leaves, and make chips out of them.
Oh, yeah.
That is, they're waxy, they're thick.
Dinosaur, like Lacinato kale works really well for that.
Oh, yeah.
And you just put some oil and salt on them.
That's one of those easy five from the last episode.
Yes.
Kale will grow so well in our area for sure. You can always grow kale. Very few pests love it.
Yep.
So, yeah, try to grow that. Try to grow that. Okay, I'm looking at our list here. Kohlrabi. There's purple Vienna, and then there's white. And then I think Johnny's has a new one called Colibri, which is doing really well for me right now.
What's different about it?
I don't know. It's just, it's growing much faster than the other kale.
They're really fast, aren't they? They're like as fast as a radish.
21
aren't they?
Days, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one seems to be.
I did not get mine to grow. I really think I had just had water issues last year. We need some of those.
I'm showing her my catalog.
Pretty.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's like putting roses. It's like roses of lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do, something like that with, which you can do it with a lot of different kinds of lettuce, but just to make it look pretty. We did get some out there that didn't die, that are alternated, but they just aren't growing huge because, you know, all that rain we're supposed to be getting, we aren't getting.
Yeah.
And I just got to get on the water schedule once I get all my weeds pulled up.
Yeah.
Then I think it'll be fine.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so lettuces, there's so many varieties. I can just tell you that we're using Salanova this year. We like to plant with a pelleted that's surrounded by clay because the seeds we use are so expensive. But you can buy Buttercrunch, and it's not that expensive. It's good lettuce. Uh-huh. I mean, they're really good lettuce. They have the iceberg-type lettuces. I prefer the leafy greens. You can get salad mixes.
Are the Salanovas going to be grown for you to harvest the whole head at one time?
Yes. The ones that we have.
Right.
We're doing actual salad mixes,
right?
For the ones we're just going to cut and make spring mix out of.
That's how I've always grown lettuce, is just doing like a spring mix type thing, so that I can cut and come again.
Yeah.
It's
more economical.
I did a whole lettuce bed one time. I think that would be a good project for the kids too, to do one in one of the Rubbermaid containers, and we could maybe video that and show you guys how to do it. But
yeah, I think that would be really
it's
fun.
A simple project, and it's a good way to get salad greens on the table. I mean, for a whole year almost, when we lived in Navarre, I didn't buy salad at the store, and then I had to go back to buying it at the store. I was like, this is crazy how expensive lettuce can be.
And you would be surprised. We have people, they'll get bags from us, and we don't weigh them, but they're typically between a half a pound and a pound. And they just don't look as big as what you get in the store. But when you look at what you're getting in the store, it's 5 ounces because they vacuum seal that up.
Right.
It's in a really big bag.
Right.
So when you open it, it's not very much.
Right.
You just don't think about it because the packaging is just so deceiving.
We could have a whole episode about advertising and packaging.
Right. And yeah, it's really interesting.
There are some conversations to have in the future about that, though, in regards to organic, non-GMO. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
When we're looking at ingredients, that's something I feel like I've shifted a little bit towards this year, is let's look at the actual ingredients list instead of just looking at the marketing on
the
front.
That's a good idea.
But we have a pantry. We have another kind of food month coming up soon. So maybe we can add that to our list of things to talk about.
Yeah. So I would look at what you're trying to grow for lettuce. You really, if you're wanting salad, you know, you don't need that many. You don't need that many seeds unless how many heads of lettuce does your family eat that week? So you're talking maybe 2 to 3 heads of lettuce a week, probably for most families. And in the summertime in our area, you're only going to be able to grow them in the shade. And if you have a fan blowing on them to keep them cooled, they will bolt.
They'll bolt.
Just don't like the heat.
They'll sprout up everywhere though.
They will sell seed and they'll be everywhere. So I would definitely go ahead and try some lettuce, especially if you're going to eat it. And I would say at the beginning, don't even worry about what kind of lettuce seed you get.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be fine. Okay. Let's see what we've got here. Where are we on the, tomatoes. Okay. Tomato varieties are going to be different. We talked about the heirloom a little while ago. You were talking about those.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what you're looking for. I do like the sweet 100s. I would suggest those, and I would suggest any of the Romas, like a San Marzano or something.
Yeah.
They have some really beautiful varieties coming out that are like they're cluster type tomatoes, but they're all going to come right at the same time. So if you're not going to eat that many tomatoes, I wouldn't suggest
those.
Well,
that's helpful for people who want to process as they are bringing tomatoes in. Yep. I would love to have some more varieties like that I can do a lot of tomato processing in small batches throughout the year. Like we've already decided for this summer, we're going to get a camp stove so that I can can outside.
That's a great idea.
Because it heats up the house too much in the summer and we don't need any help with that. It's hot enough as it is. But then I can be processing every day, really, if I want to.
You know how cool things were back in the day? There is and I don't know if it's still in operation, but, and I don't know if Escambia County ever had one, but I know Santa Rosa has a canning, their extension office has a canning place for
fun.
They used to have homemaker clubs. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And you can go use that outdoor kitchen to can.
I want to build an outdoor kitchen.
That would be awesome.
I want one.
Doug and Stacy have one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I want. I would love like a summer kitchen. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of homesteads had those historically because it was too hot to cook inside.
Exactly. In the South, for sure.
Yes. And to have a type of oven outside, which it could be a brick oven. It could be one that's powered by a fire, you know, a different, not necessarily a brick oven. I would love that as more of a like back to the basics type cooking kitchen, but it would also be nice to have an actual modern oven outside.
Absolutely.
I really want to learn how to cook bread in a Dutch oven over a fire.
That would be so much fun.
How much fun would that kind of sourdough be?
We need to watch some cowboy cooking videos.
Yes.
Cowboy cooking.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking at my catalog here, and I do know that Early Girl works really well in our area, and Big Beef.
Better Boy is
Better Boy.
One.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
The one I'm growing for Shani for her yard is called Lemon Boy Plus. That's the yellow one we talked about in the last episode. Jolene is really good for Southern United States. It's been around for a while, and it's a 79 days. They're about 70 to 80.
What size is it?
Jolene is about hand size. Okay. Like this. My hand size.
Yeah.
But it's really, it tastes good.
Is it considered a slicer?
It is a slicer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a slicer. And it's determinate too, if I'm not mistaken. So it will only get so tall. So it's prolific, but once it's done, it's done. Right. It won't keep growing.
Right.
But we don't have a good window for, you think we're hot in the South. We should have windows for tomatoes. We absolutely don't. Yeah. Not like up in North Carolina. They grow some great, you know, tomatoes up there. But I like those varieties. Right now is a really good time to start them. If you have a milk jug wherever you live, you can do what's called winter sowing. You can take the milk jug, cut it in half. You can put the dirt in the bottom of it, put your tomato seeds all in it, tape it up, and just set it somewhere. There's enough water, but it needs light. There's enough water that will create enough heat. Your tomato should sprout in no time. And then you're going to do what's called pricking them out. Once they get their true leaves. So the first two leaves are called cotyledons. The second two leaves are the true leaves. When they get those, you can go ahead and make sure the soil is very wet. Be really careful with your fingers and just put them in another container, and then they'll live from there. So when you look, you're looking at a catalog and it says, let's just say this one I'm looking at says 55 days. It's an early variety of a bush tomato. 55 days means if you planted it in the ground and it didn't get disturbed and all of the things. But once you start transplanting, you need to start subtracting weeks from it. So if you transplanted it and it's 4, 5, 6 weeks old in the high tunnel or in the greenhouse, wherever you planted it, when you transplant it out, add 2 more weeks to that day, or at least maybe 3 even. I've always heard
that number is from when you actually put it in the ground.
In the ground,
permanently.
Right. Yeah, because it's,
not from when you start the seed.
If you were to plant it in the ground, and it's outside, and it grows from there, well, yeah, it's going to be the 55 days. But we don't. We do a lot of transplanting. So you have to be real careful about that. Don't expect something to be ready when it's not. And always when you're starting seed, go ahead and use a little popsicle stick, put a date on it right when you're going to, right what you're doing.
Yeah.
When you're moving it on. I use a lot I have been using my, seed blockers.
Blockers.
And the same thing, when you use one seed blocker and you move it to the next seed blocker, you know, it takes some days. So you have to be real careful. You have to be real careful about that. But anyway, so I think we got a lot of these vegetables covered. Potatoes, to be honest, there's a lot of nice potato companies out there. Hulse has some. If you want some specialty tomatoes, I would suggest going to those, you know, your purple ones. I'll probably get some from there.
Yeah.
But if you want your plain Yukon Golds, your red Norlands, things like that, I would get them at your local feed store. Yeah. It's just so much less expensive.
Yeah.
You do not have to pay for shipping. And I think they're probably just as good quality, unless you need to be certified organic or, you know, whatever. A lot of them actually, your feed stores will actually have your organic there, your certified organic there.
Yeah.
But if you can't and you have to be, or you need to be, then I would definitely go to one of the seed suppliers online.
Yeah.
When you have the little potatoes that you're going to put in the ground, they are actually called seed potatoes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people like Shani use the ones from the grocery store, which will grow just as fine.
My yellow potatoes are Florida potatoes. So I'm hoping, I mean, it makes sense to me that if they're grown in Florida, maybe they'll be okay that they've sprouted. I didn't do it on purpose, but it worked out that way. It gave us a little head start on some potatoes.
Right.
We really like the Yukon Gold, or, you know, the yellow potatoes.
The yellow with the butter taste.
We like those better than the red ones. Yeah. The red ones are good in German potato salad, though.
Mm-hmm.
Those are delicious.
So right now, I know we're getting really long with this show, but I wanted to kind of tell you, it's really time to start your dill.
Yeah.
Time to start your basil, time to start your cilantro, or coriander, whatever you're growing there. Those eating chives, go ahead and get those herbs going. It's time.
Yep.
It's time to get those started. You want your dill to be ready when your cucumbers are.
Yeah.
So you can make pickles.
Can you believe I have a clump of parsley in my garden that I planted last spring? And I just put almost basically the whole packet, which it was an M.I. Gardener packet. So it was, I don't even know how many seeds.
A whole bunch.
Is a bunch of them in this one little area because I wanted it to be just this huge cluster of parsley. And it grew really big and then it got hot and it started to bolt and I would just go cut off the bolts.
Right.
And it has made it through being pecked apart by chickens.
It will reseed.
And I think that's what's happening is it has.
Is it a flat leaf?
Flat leaf. And my cilantro has done the same thing and it's been picked apart by chickens, but it's still coming back.
Good.
So like those types of things, once you get them started, you don't have to tear up your whole garden in between every season. Mm-hmm. I want mine to just be a constant rotation and it should have stayed that way. I just had to let some things go this fall and the garden was one of those things. So
So do you have, I've just kind of gone through my Johnny's book. Do you have any favorite varieties that I didn't mention that you like?
I really like that super sweet 100 cherry tomato. And I just got mine from Lowe's last year, the Bonnie plants. Mm-hmm. So they're really accessible. You don't even have to get them from seed and start them. You can get the plants. Mm-hmm. They grow.
They do.
And they're good.
And we can talk about later in propagation. As long as you're not selling them, if I'm not mistaken, you can take the suckers out of them and you can put them in dirt and they will grow a whole new plant.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, you just pop them. I popped them right in the ground next to the tomato plants. Cause I try to keep mine trimmed up so I don't get a lot of
the mold spores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the base of the plants. Mm-hmm. I really need to have some better trellising systems this year for my tomatoes though. I went out kind of in a hurry and got bamboo stakes and they worked okay. Mm-hmm. But I really want to have, a better system for.
Have you tried the Florida weave?
Is that the one where you put a stake at the end of, like on the end of like each row four. And then you use?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. I have not yet, but I might try that one. Mm-hmm. That's the one that one of the big local farms uses.
Holland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And they grow their big like beefsteak tomatoes on those. I am also going to plant my tomatoes closer together this year.
Good.
I spaced them out. This is a whole other episode. You don't have to follow the spacing on the seed packet.
No, you don't.
I spaced mine out thinking it was going to be better for them, but really I ended up just having kind of some scraggly plants because they didn't have a lot of support.
Right.
So if I could grow them closer together and with a Florida weave, it really supports itself if you grow them closer
together. Just as long as there's airflow, you're fine.
And so you give them airflow by going through and thinning out the suckers and then you get to plant those and have more tomatoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just all a learning curve, right? It's just we learn as we go.
And just spending time with the plants and learning the plants.
Yeah. I mean, it's really fun. If you're listening to our podcast, you probably love this type of lifestyle or it intrigues you or whatever. And it's a really good way to live. It's a slower way to live. You get in touch with nature. You get in touch with the outdoors. You just are the type of person probably that you really like it out here. You like being outside. You like doing things that promote your life. Mm-hmm. In a slower way, not better or anything like that, but in a slower way and that worked for you. So we're glad that you're here.
Yeah.
We're glad that you're listening to us and we hope that you're learning something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what do we got to add here?
Tell us about the hawk and the eagle.
The hawk and the eagle. Okay. So this is the story that I heard and I don't even remember where I heard it. So I hope I don't butcher it too much, but there is a saying, it's about the crow, right? So it says that the crow, we were watching this crow irritating this hawk in the last episode.
Yeah.
And because we're recording too, and he was just so irritating. And a lot of times you see that with birds and you think, well, maybe they have eggs or somewhere and the hawk is trying to get them. Or sometimes the crow's just irritating and you can hear him and he's just calling and he's irritating the bird and the bird is just trying to fly around. And eventually the hawk just went away and the crow went the other way. But the saying I heard was this, was that an eagle, a crow will just irritate. They irritate them and they just pecking the back of the head or pecking his wings or whatever. But the eagle can fly higher, can soar higher than the crow. So the eagle flies so high, they just, you know, they don't retaliate. They don't turn around and nail the crow like you would think, like the hawk didn't earlier. The eagle just keeps going higher and higher. Eventually, the crow can't fly as high as the eagle. Something about the altitude. I don't know if the eagle has a bigger lung capacity. I'm not sure. But the eagle keeps soaring until the crow can't go anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the crow is down at the bottom, but the eagle is still going. And so I thought, you know, that is a really good saying to get us through when someone's just irritating you or something or life or, and you just can't seem to shake it. Just keep persevering, walk further, go higher, set your sights above a little bit more and keep persevering, keep going forward. And hopefully the crow will fall away. Yeah. Whatever it is that you know is irritating you or bothering you or just not even necessary to be there. Just keep your eyes above. Keep your gaze forward and go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep soaring like on eagle's wings.
Eagle's wings.
There's a song. I'm going to start singing it, but I'm shitting. So I'm gonna stop.
Well, Isaiah, I mean, it tells us that those who wait upon the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles. Yeah. They will walk and not grow weary, and they will run and not grow faint. And I thought it was kind of neat that you pointed that out. It always amazes me. It doesn't surprise me. It amazes me how all of these lessons and these principles aren't just written in scripture. We actually can see them in
nature.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a reason we should be out in nature.
Right.
And if we're not in nature, if we're always in this artificial environment that we've created, whether it's on our phones or watching TV, and there's nothing wrong with those things in moderation, in small doses, but when we live in this artificial environment, we miss all of the things that God's created.
Sure.
And maybe he's created those things to teach us a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you watch that the way that the waves, you grew up at the beach,
yeah.
The way that the waves come in and out. And, and I always think of that. Is it Mandisa that sang that song? No, it wasn't Mandisa. Nicole Williams.
You're old.
I am old.
You are not old. I'm just cracking up because Mandisa has been around for a while.
I don't know who's saying it now. I'll have to look it up and I'll put the right name in here. But she sang the song that who taught the oceans they could only go this far.
Oh, wow.
And it always makes me think of...
And they do. They just go that far.
Yeah, like they know where to go.
Yeah.
And God set everything in motion. And I mean, he even says in Genesis when he created the stars and the planets, it was for signs and for seasons,
yeah.
And so that we would know. And you can't know those things unless you're out observing them.
Right. So. And before we left church, we were at a church for a long time, like in the beginning when the boys were little, and then we came back for a little while afterwards. And before we leave church, we would always sing, and God will raise you up on eagle's wings and bear you on the breath of dawn and make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to lean on him. It's really hard because we like to put people's, you know, versions of who they think we are.
Yeah.
We hear other versions of who we think we are. And we hear this enemy talking to us too sometimes. You know, it's like the negative thoughts, you know. And so we just have to keep saying, no, this is the path. We're only here for a certain time. I had a really good friend, and I didn't even know, but her husband passed away. Good friend of Adam's. We have not been on social media. It was such a crazy week. We found out like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's young.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to think of that, you know, we're just here for a certain season and we don't know what that is.
It's just a vapor.
Yeah. So love your people, guys.
Yeah.
Love your people and
get outside.
And get outside and enjoy your families and remember that our time is short.
Yeah.
And
make the time that you're here worth it.
Yeah. So we love you guys and we're glad you're listening. You can follow us on Patreon and Spotify, Apple, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yes.
I am learning.
All
Thank
the places.
You, Shani. All the places. if you have any questions for us, just let us know. And we hope you have a great week.
Yeah. I think our next episode is going to be introducing the March challenge.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited, I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see you guys then.
See ya. Have a good week.